Hi, this is Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Sonic Scoop podcast. And today, we're going to be talking about why you shouldn't learn mastering, why you should not learn how to master records. And this is coming from a guy who works as a mastering engineer and who teaches other people to learn mastering. In fact, I have a whole full-length course called Mastering Demystified. But the whole subject of today's podcast is going to be about why you shouldn't buy it. Isn't that weird? This one comes in response to an audience question that I really enjoyed reading and I want to read to you guys and give you my thoughts on. There are absolutely some reasons why you should not be that interested in mastering and you should potentially not go into mastering or spend a lot of your time learning mastering. There are, however, some good reasons to maybe learn mastering or learn more about mastering. And I'll give you some information there too to help you make the decision for yourself whether this is an area where you should put more time and effort. I really don't have a horse in this race because if you find out that mastering is not for you, I can hip you to my full-length mixing course. Mixing Breakthrough is my full-length compression course, Compression Breakthroughs, or you can use me as a mastering engineer. But if you want to learn mastering, I can help you with that too. So I really don't care which of these things is true for you. I just care that you make the best decision for yourself. I literally have no vested interest in whether or not you're interested in learning mastering because of all the different things that I do. So I hope I can guide you through this as a relatively impartial person. All right, let's get into it. I'm going to start reading this question. I'm going to give you some of my initial thoughts, and then we'll do a quick shout out to sponsors somewhere in the podcast episode. I'll tell you right off the top that they are GPU Audio. They're giving away a free convolution reverb over at gpu.audio/sonicscoop. Check them out. Isotope, they're sponsoring this episode. Check them out, isotope.com/sonicscoop for 10% off any of their plugins, or Soundtoys. Try out anything they make for free for 30 days over at soundtoys.com. More on those guys later. Let's get right into the meat of this week's episode. All right, a guy named Gary, I'll just use his first name, writes in to say, "Well, I just watched the intro free video to mastering and came away with some negative feelings about mastering." What he's referring to there is I have a free workshop on mastering called Mastering 101. You can get it at sonicscoop.com/mastering101, where I give you the basic primer to mastering. So he's just gone through that entire free workshop that gives you an overall view of the ins and outs of mastering. And this is geared towards people who want to learn mastering, but in this case, this made this guy not want to learn mastering. And that's totally okay, because in that workshop, I want you to decide for yourself whether or not this is something you want to pursue. So those negative feelings being, Gary writes, mastering really is not for those who cannot have a really pro mastering studio. That is the average composer recordist that is not pro level in understanding and is really not spending their time and money wisely by attempting a DIY version of mastering using sub pro spaces and equipment. That isn't necessarily exactly what I say in the workshop, but there's some debatable truth in there that we'll get into. I really want to go through this because this guy is not alone in coming to some of these conclusions about mastering. Let's keep on going. Which leads me to wonder then about all the companies hawking, capital hawking, mastering plugins and books to the average home studio composer slash recorder. We're led to believe that we can do it all at home if we just add all those plugins to our DAWs. So I guess I will give up on DIY mastering, save the money by not buying their plugins, do as much mixing at home as I can, and then submit what I have done to a pro mixing engineer, and then sending that pro mix on to a mastering engineer. Thanks for the info. Kind of disappointing to realize it is not really a DIY project for most of us, as I really love learning new things, especially with the imagining that I can actually reach a workable goal. Your video says to me, I don't have the money for the pro mastering studio, the plugins, nor the time to really learn the craft. The end. So this guy checked out my free Mastering 101 workshop. You can get it at sonicscoop.com/mastering101 and came away with the conclusion that he should not waste his time learning mastering. Meanwhile, a whole bunch of people have taken this mastering workshop and go on to buy the Mastering Demystified course, and then they go on to do mastering. And some of them do it in not ideal, super high-end pro rooms. So what's the answer? Why would the things that I've said steer him in the direction to say, mastering isn't for me, I shouldn't be doing it, And why do some people watching the same thing decide, oh, mastering is something I should get into. Let me buy this course. Let me learn mastering. I want to get my hands dirty. And I do set this intro to mastering workshop up so you could come to either of those conclusions. So it's working. That this guy clearly very passionately came to one of those two conclusions, which is I shouldn't waste my time learning mastering. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's actually going to be true for a whole bunch of you watching this video or listening to this podcast episode right now, that getting into mastering deep into it is not for you. Let's go into some of the things he brings up here. The idea that you should really have a high-end studio space to do mastering in. I wouldn't necessarily go that far. You don't necessarily need to spend $1 million building out a studio to get a super high-end mastering studio with the most expensive speakers that money can buy, perfectly acoustically treated to do good mastering work. You do, however, need to have really reliable monitoring, probably better monitoring than most mixers have, and at the very least, better monitoring than your clients have. But this can come in many forms. At the very least, to do mastering really, really well, if you're using speakers, you'll probably want to invest in some acoustic treatment in your room, probably a couple $1,000s worth at least to get the kind of results that you really want. Or if you're handy with a hammer and some fiberglass insulation and some burlap covering that you put over this stuff, you can make that stuff yourself for a fraction of the cost, and you might be in the high hundreds instead of the couple $1,000s to treat a relatively small room and really get the low-end speaking in a decent way, just to start. And you probably want to get better than average mixing speakers. That said, there are some people who master on nothing but headphones. I've mentioned it before in this podcast episode. I've interviewed him at least twice. A great mastering engineer by the name of Glenn Schick. He's mastered everyone from J. Cole to Justin Bieber, really super high level stuff. And he masters these days exclusively on headphones with nothing but plugins. Granted, the specific headphones he uses cost about $4,000 a pair. And maybe that's not for everybody, but you could do good mastering work on less expensive headphones. I have right here on my desk a pair of headphones that cost me about $300. I actually didn't even pay for them. They sent me these headphones, and I love them. They're great headphones, and they're some of the only headphones I know that really allow me to get a good picture of the low end. And I double check every master I do on my big speakers here. In case anyone's wondering what they are, they're not in the shot, but I have some very nice Ex Machina speakers up here. There are some beautiful high-end speakers. I use those as my primary speakers. And then as a secondary reference, I use these headphones from Blue to double-check every single master that I do. And I have done so much cross-referencing on these headphones that I literally can and have mastered records on the road with nothing but these headphones and a laptop and have gotten good results out of them. You also don't necessarily need fancy plugins to do mastering. And in the course Mastering Demystified, I do a shootout where you can hear the master that I do on a super high-end analog mastering system where I learned mastering and did my first maybe 5 years worth of mastering on the super high-end analog setup. And then I compared that to a master where I tried to duplicate it using nothing but stock plugins and Pro Tools. And the results are they're really, really, really close, almost indistinguishably close. I had to use different settings on each to get them that close, but it's totally doable. Was it as easy and as fast to do with the stock plugins? No. Did I have to take some extra steps? Yes. Were basically the same final results achievable? Also, yes. So long story short, I think this viewer, this listener writing in is maybe going a little bit too far in that direction of thinking you need to spend crazy sums of money to get into mastering and do it well. It's not necessarily the case, but yes, you do need some specialized stuff, particularly around monitoring and listening that might not be optimal if all you're interested in is really composing or recording or mixing. You'll probably want better monitoring than that. And depending on the level of clients that you expect to work with, the requirements might get higher and higher. But you don't have to go and start by taking out, you know, a multi-six-figure studio build loan to build out a high-end mastering space to get good results in mastering. However, where this person is really onto something is the time investment. It really is mastering its own special discipline that is different from mixing, and is different from recording, and is different from composing or performing, singing, being a songwriter, being a musician. And in general, if you want the very best results possible in your career, at some point, you're going to want to specialize more and more in those things where you have a comparative advantage, or specialize in those things that light your fire the most, that you're the most interested in doing and improving at. And this person is clearly interested in being a composer who records at home. This is how he's identified himself. The average composer slash recordist. The average person who has a home studio, who's looking to write music, perform that music, and record that music. And you'll notice in here, he lumped mixing in with mastering. He's realizing, I should do as much of my mixing at home as I can, but then submit it to a pro mixing engineer to really finalize that mix, and then send that pro mix to a pro mastering engineer. In general, if you want the shortest cut to good sounding results out of your studio, then absolutely yes. Investing in the help of professionals who specialize in those areas is a shortcut to better sounding records compared to learning how to make records all by yourself in your bedroom. This is not to say that people don't make great sounding recordings in their bedroom. There are absolutely great sounding recordings made in bedrooms all the time. But there's a few caveats there. One, some of the records we love that are made in bedrooms don't actually sound that great. They're just really good music, so we love them anyway. So a shortcut to like music that matters is do really good music and the production is kind of like secondary. It's like the other 10 or 20% and the music, the performances, man, that's 80 or 90%. And you can go on YouTube right now and find no shortage of really homespun, off-the-cuff performances of songs that have millions of views with like an iPhone camera or something like that, because they're just like really compelling performances by really compelling performers. That is absolutely the biggest thing. So that's number one. Number two is that a lot of the people who actually do make really good sounding music DIY in their own bedrooms have been doing it for a long time. You might not have seen that they've been making music in their bedroom for like the past decade, and now finally their stuff sounds really good. And when they were at year number two and year number three, they were just as like nervous and nail-bitey and anxious and, you know, self-flagellating about how bad their stuff was as you are potentially right now. So people who do make great sounding DIY stuff at home, often you're not seeing the long learning curve of how long they've been making music in that environment, and that's a missing piece of the puzzle. And you're looking at someone who's developed in their craft, and here you are still developing in your craft. But there's a third thing. Most of those DIY people who make really amazing sounding records, they're usually not DIYing everything. Even if they have a mixing credit or production credit on their own record, chances are that in many of these cases, at a certain point, someone else has started to help them mix or finish their mixes. Most cases, someone else is mastering that record for them. The high-level DIY people who make great-sounding stuff, whose names you've heard of, sure, some of them seem to do everything, but some of them are also at least getting help in mastering, maybe getting some production help somewhere, often bringing in other performers, so it's not totally DIY, and often getting mixing help, even if they're also part of the mixing equation. In most cases of really great sounding DIY success, it's not really 100% DIY. There are some areas that are DIY or done at home, and some areas that aren't. And that's what you'll find is the norm. And it is absolutely true that if you want to spend the time it takes to get really good at mastering, that is going to take time away from other things. If your goal is to be composer, producer, songwriter, performer, I don't think that devoting yourself to mastering and devoting lots of hours to it makes sense. There's still a chance that learning more about mastering If you are in that boat, you just want to be a performer, a songwriter, a producer, recordist, or even a mixer, that learning a bit more about mastering, maybe even taking a course on mastering or watching a lot of YouTube videos on mastering to get a better conceptual understanding of what's going on, could actually help you in your craft of recording, arranging, producing. So there's still a case to learn at least the basics of mastering, if not to learn the conceptual frameworks that are even used at an intermediate and advanced level. Maybe you should know this stuff, but you don't necessarily need to spend all the time practicing mastering to get good enough at it to be mastering the final versions of your own records or to be mastering records for others. Maybe that's not for you at all, and that's totally okay. And this doesn't only go for mastering. This also goes for mixing. I mean, if your main thing is that you want to be songwriter, performer, then spending a lot of time learning mixing, its own separate discipline, maybe isn't where you should be devoting all of your time. The same might also go if you're a producer, and a producer who focuses more on the side of coaching artists, helping them with their arrangements, getting together a band of performers to back a songwriter who doesn't have a band of performers and helping them flesh out their song ideas. If that's the end of production you're interested in, you maybe shouldn't devote too much of your mental energy, bandwidth, time, learning curve to mixing or mastering. Now, this changes a little bit when you want to be audio engineer guy or girl. And you do not want to focus on performing yourself. You don't even want to focus that much on coaching artists in the studio. You don't want to focus that much on arranging. Those aren't where your strengths lie. Your strengths are maybe more technical or maybe more project management, or your strengths are maybe more about kind of deep listening and geeking out about sounds. Then you might want to specialize more in something like recording or mixing or mastering. And if you're really focused a lot on mixing, you should probably, to a significant degree, continue to focus on mixing, but learn mastering to the extent where it will help inform you in mixing or become a secondary income stream for you. So if you're that person who's really focused on mixing or recording, or you're the engineer-producer type rather than the musician-producer type, maybe learning mastering and learning it at a deeper level is a good idea, because you can either A, improve your own craft, B, learn what to really expect out of a mastering session, what can and can't be fixed or done, like what good masters sound like before and after they've been mastered. All of that stuff could be extremely useful in helping to inform your work as a producer, as a recordist, or as a mixer. Or if you're looking to diversify revenue streams, you could also do mastering, learn how to really do mastering, and do it for kind of more junior mixing engineers. Because if you're focused on mixing and you really want to mix for artists who are taking their stuff seriously enough to pay you a decent rate to mix, you're going to run into a lot of artists who are like, well, I want to learn to mix, because that seems to be the cool thing to do now, right? A lot of people are producing themselves and mixing their own stuff, often because they feel like they can't afford to pay someone else to mix their stuff, or just because they want to learn to mix themselves because they think it would be cool, or because they themselves would love to get a job mixing other people's stuff. And you might not be able to say to those people, well, pay me more to mix your stuff. But you might be able to say to those more junior engineers and producers who are coming up behind you, hey, what I can do for you is I can master your stuff. I can master it better than a person who's cheaper than me or other people at my price range, or I get your music more, or I can give you mixed coaching, or you trust me, we have a relationship, you've heard the other stuff that I've done. I can be that mastering person for you. And here I am mixing records for my more quote unquote high level clients, but I'm mastering records over here for other clients who are more towards the beginning of their career, and they need more of a mid-priced mastering engineer. And they're not going to hire the most pro mastering engineer out there, but they know that they're going to get better results if they hire me to master than if they hire the cheapest person or to try to do it themselves. So a person even who specializes in mixing, who wants to diversify income streams, maybe adding mastering to that could be a good idea. But at a certain point, if you really want to move ahead further and further with mixing, chances are that you specialize more and more in mixing and more in landing mixing clients. Well, I hope some of this stuff has made sense for you. Did you learn mastering? I want to hear from you in the comments below. And if so, do you use those skills today to master records for yourself or for others? Do you use those skills right now to get paid or to not get paid? Was learning mastering useful to you? What is the main thing that you do? And was it useful to you to add understanding and learning mastering to that? How has it improved things for you? Or was it a waste of time? Let me know in the comments down below. I hope I've given you a good case for both sides of this. If you really are most interested in being a composer, a songwriter, a performer, then putting more of your eggs into that basket and just seeking to understand the other parts of the craft, but seeking help to complete the other parts of the task may be your best bet. But if you're more interested in the production side of things, particularly the engineering production side of things, recording, mixing, mastering, sounds in general, and not just arrangements and performances, if that's more your thing, then there's more of a case to learn mastering, whether it's to improve your craft at mixing or recording or producing, or whether it's to actually start offering mastering as a service, whether that's a primary service or a secondary service that you only offer to certain types of clients. Now, if you've gotten this far in the episode and you do want to learn more about mastering, you can take that very same longer explainer workshop about what mastering is really about. It's called Mastering 101. You can get it at sonicscoop.com/mastering101. It is the most comprehensive brief primer I know of on mastering. It is super laser focused on getting you to understand what mastering is really about, what the goals are, how we go about achieving those goals, and it'll give you a sense, even greater sense than I gave you today, for whether or not you should pursue mastering, and if you're going to, best ways to go about it. So you can check that out for free over at sonicscoop.com/mastering101, or if you just want to go into a full-length course because you really feel like you absolutely need to learn mastering, then check out my full-length course on mastering, Mastering Demystified, which you can get at masteringdemystified.com. Comes with a money-back guarantee for 30 days. And I will teach you literally everything I know about mastering with countless audio examples in there. And you can even hear a comparison, like I mentioned earlier, between super high-end analog mastering rig and stock plugins. And you'd be amazed at how close the sounds of both can get if you have the right strategies, the right techniques, the right mindset, and the right conceptual frameworks in your head when you go into mastering. If listening to this has made you feel like, well, maybe I should just stick with learning mixing, then I've got the full-length course on mixing for you called Mixing Breakthroughs. You can get it at mixingbreakthroughs.com. Also a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it absolutely will change the way that you mix forever for the better. And whether you are mixing or mastering or just recording stuff, then you really want to get a handle on compression. And I've got the full-length course on that too, Compression Breakthroughs, that you can check out over at compressionbreakthroughs.com. But if instead you want to say, Justin, I just want more free stuff, I can get you some free stuff thanks to this week's sponsors. Check out GPU Audio over at gpu.audio/sonicscoop. You may know that your computer has a CPU in it, a central processing unit, I think that's what it stands for, but also has a GPU, a graphics processing unit, that unless you're playing crazy video games or doing Bitcoin mining while you're mixing, is an untapped, super powerful resource in your computer that can be used for running super awesome sounding plugins, really power-hungry plugins like convolution reverbs, and they can run them at practically zero latency. Check that out for free. You can get early access to the convolution reverb from GPU Audio at gpu.audio/sonicscoop. That's gpu.audio/sonicscoop to get limited time free early access to their GPU-powered convolution reverb. Definitely check them out. Also, if you are getting into mastering for yourself, I use at least some Isotope modules in practically every master I do. Some of their Ozone modules, some of their RX modules, at least one or in many cases more of them on literally every master. And you can get any of that stuff for 10% off over at isotope.com/sonicscoop. That's isotope.com/sonicscoop. Or get a 30-day free trial instead of the usual 7-day free trial to their Music Production Suite Pro Bundle. isotope.com/sonicscoop. Last but not least, this podcast has been sponsored from the beginning by one of my favorite plugin companies in the known universe, Soundtoys. So much fun to use. They make such great creative mixing effects. Try out anything they make for free for 30 days over at soundtoys.com. Thanks again for hanging out with me. This has been Justin Coletti of Sonic Scoop. See you next time.